Well, good morning. Now, I know I'm pretty loud, but I don't know about that. I can be a, and I hope I got it on right. Maybe that's why. Is it right? Okay. Well, how's everybody doing today? Good? You glad to be here to worship God and hear what he has to say to us this morning? Two weeks ago, I'm glad Lynn preached on sanctification. If you still don't remember that, I'd go back and listen to his sermon, because that is one of the things that I was struggling between preaching between that and this passage of scripture. So when he preached it, I told him, I said, thank you for doing that, because this allowed the Lord to lay on my heart the other thing. This morning we're going to talk about a verse that we probably don't hear too much talked about. We actually teach our kids John 3:16, right? Everybody can say that. But I think this is another verse that we as Christians should learn. And it's taken from the book of Luke, and it's Luke 3:16. And if you know John the Baptist, he was a fiery preacher, one who would preach repentance and just really let it rip when he preached. Well, I don't know that I'm John the Baptist this morning, but not going to try to be John the Baptist. But I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Holy Spirit? And the reason I ask that is because after doing this study on the Holy Spirit here, the question that kept coming back to my mind is, where is the fire? And that is the title for this morning's sermon, taken from Luke 3:16. And I want to read it to you. John answered. Now, you got to understand this passage here. John answered them, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one mightier than I that cometh, whose shoes I am not able to unloose or to tie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. There was a man, anybody know, ever heard of Dr. Albert Tozer, A.W. Tozer? A man came to him one day and from his church, and he said, you know, if God were to withdraw the Holy Spirit from my church, we wouldn't even know that he was missing. My church would continue to operate just as it has. So I asked again, do we know this Holy Spirit? See, if man is really born of God and of Spirit, this is the most radical thing this side of eternity. And if we really are truly born again of God's Spirit, he makes us a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Where's the fire? And I asked this question to myself two nights this week as I stayed up till 1 a.m. just hashing this over, and I still don't know if I have the fire. You see, brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit comes, he not only comes into a person's life, but he brings a fire that never can be quenched. A fire that burns. Oh yeah, we can quench him by doing things in our own life. The Bible says that. But it's a fire that keeps burning. It keeps burning brighter and brighter and affects everybody around us. So where's the fire? I want to take a look at a few things here. Before we do, we're going to pray. We're going to take a few look at a few things of the Holy Spirit and what he does in our life. There's quite a bit of slides that are going to go up here. We're not going to read every single verse. We're not going to read every single thing because there's a lot. And I didn't do the whole Bible, just the New Testament. And I'm sure I missed some. So let's just pray. Father, I want to be your servant today, Lord. I want to be your messenger. I want my feet happy when I leave this place. I want my brothers and sisters to know the presence of Almighty God. I want them to desire that presence, Father. I'm asking as we speak here today that your Spirit would flow. Help us to understand what you really want in our lives. Holy Spirit, come and bring the fire today. I ask this, Father, in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. You need to follow along on the slides up there. And, you know, I want you to just get an idea of what the Holy Spirit brings. First slide is going to have the Holy Spirit leads. He speaks. He drives. He has power. The Holy Spirit can be tempted. The Holy Spirit can block us from doing things. You ever had that happen? Where he says, no, don't do it. Just stop. The Holy Spirit is to be followed. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. The Spirit is life. The Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead. It was the Holy Spirit who did that. The Holy Spirit puts to death our flesh. The Holy Spirit adopts us as his own. He bears witness. He bears fruit. We are his first fruits. If you're a born again believer today, you are his first fruit. He's our helper. You ever need some help with something? Call on the Holy Spirit. What did Albert say at church camp a couple weeks ago? What did he get on a job site? Couldn't fix a problem? Cry out. It's the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's right now making intercession for me as I bring forth his word. He's making intercession for you. He knows the will of the Father. He loves. He gives us a demonstration. He reveals things. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of the Father. We cannot know the things of the Father except through the Holy Spirit. He teaches. He has nothing to do with your flesh or the natural man. He will not do anything with your flesh. Not one iota. So your flesh will always be there. Mine's there and it'll be there until I die. But he won't touch it. He doesn't want to touch it. The Spirit justifies us before the Father. No man can come to the Father or no man can know Jesus and say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit. The Spirit gives us manifestations. There's all kinds of those. He gives us gifts. He baptizes. The Spirit will not write with ink, but he writes on the tables of our heart. He brings liberty. And this is one that should be bolded up there, but if the Spirit of God lives inside each one of us, he makes us cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy, where are you at? He's supposed to be kept in step with. It's one I struggle with. Spirit is at war with the flesh. Fights it. We can live in the Spirit. The Spirit can be sowed to. He also reaps life everlasting. He seals you with a promise. The Holy Spirit allows access to the Father. It is through the Holy Spirit that we can come boldly before God. The Spirit provides a place of habitation for God in us as a church. Spirit brings unity. There's only one Holy Spirit. He can be cut to the heart or stabbed as if someone stabs someone else in the heart. He fills us up. brings life. The Spirit is part of the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. We are told to pray in the Spirit. The Spirit is our help supply. He provides fellowship. We are told to love in the Spirit. The Spirit's fire can be quenched, can be diminished. It won't be put out, but it can be diminished. Sanctifies. He brings the mystery of godliness. The Spirit speaks about the latter times. If it were not for the Spirit of grace, the blood covenant would be worthless. We are told to obey through the Spirit. He guides us. Again, He's a gift to us. He bears witness. The Spirit is truth. This is one I found very hard. A person without the Spirit will be sensual. The Spirit and the bride, that's us as a church, cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus." The Spirit placed Jesus in Mary's womb. The Holy Spirit baptizes. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed against. He teaches. He's a comforter. We're almost done. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. We're to be filled by the Holy Spirit. We can lay hands on people for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He speaks. The Holy Spirit brings joy and peace. He brings hope. He sanctifies. We are to be His abiding place. We get renewed by the Holy Spirit. He is a witness. He moves people. Thank you, Brother Willie. We are to be made partakers by the Holy Spirit. He is the one with the Father and the Son. Now, this list is only what I did in just a couple nights. The Old Testament, you know, Samson. Young people, you know, the strongest man that ever lived was Samson. The Holy Spirit would come upon him to do great feats for him. In the New Testament, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let me ask the question again. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we are to be like Him, where's the fire? You know, 77% of American population, according to a major Gallup poll, says they identify themselves as Christians. I say that if this is true, then we should be the most godly nation on the face of the earth. In Jeremiah 2:13, God says this, "For my people," He's talking to the children of Israel, but in the New Testament, "you and I are His people." Peter talks about that in 1 Peter. "For you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, set apart for me," right? He says this in Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have made themselves broken cisterns. They cannot hold no water at all." Nothing. That water that they're referring to there in Jeremiah, and Jesus later talked about in John 7 and John 4:10, is the Holy Spirit. Living water. So why is God's church dry today? I don't know about you, but I'm dry. And I'm saying that because this is something that God's been working on me. Where's the fire? Preacher said this one time as he was watching a old mill. This was over in England, so you got to figure you put yourself back a few years. I don't know they use mills anymore like this, but it was an old mill. And everybody, his heard about it, it was on fire, and he told his wife, let's go down in the middle of the night and let's watch this mill burn. And you can imagine they probably used oak or some real hard, dry wood, and if you've ever burned fire, wood that's been dried, like an old beam or something, that's been sitting there for 50, 60 years drying in a barn, it gets pretty hot and intense. But as they left, they went and stood there and watched this fire burn. They couldn't get close to it. There were so many people. Seems like the town had their same idea. Let's go watch the fire burn at night. Watch this old mill burn. You know, he said this to his wife. He said, you know, so it will be when God's church is baptized with fire. People will want to know what is going on. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he said, it's a gift. If you knew the gift that I give you, you would never thirst again. So what does fire bring when it comes? Let's look at a few things. Y'all are looking at me like I'm, is this really hitting you? Is this really speaking to your heart this morning? I don't know about you, but I really want the Holy Spirit to come and baptize me with fire. Let's look at a few things here. They're going to be up there on the screen behind it. Fire goes to the core, penetrates everything. We were at church camp and they kept throwing on pallets, these old pallets onto the fire. I mean, we're sitting there watching these pallets go on. And they didn't, it kind of dimmed the fire a little bit when you threw it on there pretty quick. But as that fire penetrated to the very core of that pallet, it started making some people jump because I heard a lot of popping. It started drying out all the moisture that was in that wood, and it started to ignite, and it became hot, be very hot. It goes to the very core. Fire consumes. It is very destructive, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, Elijah, as a man of God, he was able to call down fire from heaven, burned up 50 men. He also burned up on the altar when he prayed, and God brought down fire from heaven. It burned up the altar, it burned up the water, it burned up the sacrifice, it burned up everything around it. It totally consumed. Fire ignites everything, burns everything around it. Let me go back to a minute. Where's Nate and Wes? You guys deal with fire. One of the things that we look for in a pellet stove when it's burning properly is the intense heat at the very base of the fire. It's a white, bright heat, right, Nate? If he don't see that when he goes out there, he knows there's something wrong. Could be a lot of things, but there's something wrong. That's the same thing. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings fire into our life. It's intense. It's very deep. Penetrating, you cannot get rid of it. It's a very intense thing. When that fire is not there, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Fire ignites everything. Fire protects. Have you ever thought about a fire being protection? I had to think about that a little bit. Where in Scripture was fire used to protect? In Genesis, God put two angels at the Garden of Eden with two flaming swords that turned every which way. He was protecting what was his. You know, in Exodus, he sent the fire, pillar of fire between the Egyptians and his children. He does that with us. He will protect us. Fire reveals the type of bond which holds a substance together. So if you got two types of metals, and one, if you're a welder here, and you may tell me I'm wrong on this, but I could be, I've never welded, just a little bit here and there in class, but if you've got the right kind of metal and you put heat to it, it stays together. Is that true? If you got two different types of metals together and you put heat on and one of those metals isn't the good substance, it will melt. Fire reveals the type of bond. Who are we bonded to? Bonded to the Lord Jesus. When that fire comes, we are sealed with that seal of promise. Holds it. Fire also separates impurities. In Malachi 3, it says, "Who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? Only those who have been refined." Fire produces real gold, pure gold. Fire bonds pure metal to strengthen them. Fire separates that which is durable from the perishable. And this is one that I really like. Because when fire comes, it brings new life. How many of you ever watched somebody burn a specific field because it's got a bunch of junk in it and they want to clean the field out? And it burns it out. What happens the next year? Anybody ever done that? You burn something? Tommy, what happens the next year? New growth, new life. That's what happens. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When the Holy Spirit comes and burns out all the dross, everything in our life that just has no value, He brings new life. And if we don't have life, then maybe we need Him to come and burn us out. I love it. Fire produces transparency in the life of a believer. You know, some of you saw, I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago, maybe about a month now, I guess. Yeah, it's probably been 2 weeks ago. My father, he gave us all Bibles. This is not his Bible, by the way. It's fallen apart. I can't use it. Its pages are out of it. But he would go through the Bible, one Bible for each child, and mark it up with as God spoke to him over the years. He's been doing it for 30 years now, 37 years. And I had the privilege to have his first Bible. And this was one of the notes under fire. Fire produces transparency, just as when someone makes glass, the heat takes sand and creates a beautiful, clear piece of glass. Of course, now they can add things to it too now to make design to them, but it produces glass. So when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, it will produce transparency. You and I will be transparent, seeing ourselves as Jesus sees us before the Father. No way to see ourselves but as transparent. Not only with that, but James says we will start confessing our faults one to another. So we become transparent with one another. So I ask again, after all this stuff, where's the fire? I can only see two things here. In studying this and hit me, either one, we're not truly born again believers, which I don't believe is the case, or we need to ask God to send down His Holy Spirit and baptize us with fire and burn out all the stuff. I don't believe that we're not true born again believers. I believe we're born again. If you believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that He died on the cross and was buried and raised, and He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you, you're born again. The Bible says that. But we need to ask for His Holy Spirit to baptize us with some fire. Maybe to restir the embers. Maybe throw a new palate, to use a, that's maybe sacrilegious to say that. But maybe we need to ask God to start stirring up in us again a fire that burns. You see, if I told you right now that God's presence would fall in this place like it did when they sat in the upper room, and every single one of you would have flames of fire on your head, if I told you that right now, and that happened, you would not want to leave this place. Neither would I. It would be just like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter sat there and he said, "God, we don't want to leave. We just want to stay here in your presence." But yet we are told that his church is going to be a place, a habitation of where God dwells. That means when we walk out in the street or when we're here together, there is a presence of God that just flows. Everybody we rub shoulders with would know the presence of Almighty God is there because He dwells inside of us. So I'll ask again, why is God's church dry? Why is it? Are we just going through the motions of life as Christians? Do we truly desire to be consumed by Him? You see, you and I are God's gold, pure gold, tried in a fire and found wanting. He wants us. And a true refiner does not mind putting the gold back in the fire, taking it out, heating it up, taking it out, heating it up. Why? Because he knows that each time he puts it back in the fire, the gold or the silver gets a little bit more pure. It's a little bit more pure. And real gold never fears fire. We won't fear it. However, the Holy Spirit comes, and when the fire comes, it brings several things. It brings an anguish for the lost. It brings anguish over a lack of presence of God in our life. It brings an anguish over sin. So if we're not weeping for the lost, if we're not weeping for our sin, if we're not desiring the presence of God, then there's something deeply wrong. Because the spirit we have in us may not be the spirit of God. It may be a mind, a spirit of the mind. You know, Jesus needed the spirit of God. Where's the fire at? Where is it at? I ask that in my own life. Where is the fire? I say we better beg God. I say we better beg God and ask God to send His fire on not only our church, but every church here in America. On the 77% that say they're Christians. Because if not, there's going to be a lot of people standing in hell one day begging God for one more chance. When was the last time we spent as a church hours on our knees asking God to send His Spirit, to baptize us with His Spirit? When was the last time we stood on our knees? Begging God for His fire. Luke 3, 6, 16 and 17. Verse 17 says this, In his hand he has a fan. He will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to grab the wheat, the good stuff, bring it into his barn. That's us. The rest of it he's going to burn with an unquenchable fire. Where's God's fire in your life? Where's the fire in His church? I asked the pastor this week, well, he's not pastoring anymore. He's in his, probably in his 80s. But I've come to respect this man, and every time him and I get together, we talk, if for just maybe a few minutes, but we talk about things of the Lord. And I asked him that. I gave him a copy of this and I said, I'd like to know where the fire is. And he just hung his head. He said, I know. I know, where's the fire? See, when Jesus left, before He left, He met with 500 people. He was seen by 500 people, I should say, the Bible says. And He told them to go wait in the upper room. How many people were in the upper room? Anybody know? 120. What happened to the other 380 people that saw Jesus afterwards? There was 120 that chose to go and wait in the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, how many people are in this room today? Maybe around 120. I don't know. Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to ask and pray? Holy Spirit, come, baptize us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on that fire. I don't want to miss out on what God's going to do in my life and burning up things. But I don't. Worship team, you can come on up. I want to, we're going to sing a song here, but I'm going to ask you something. You see, sometimes we can become born again at a very young age, like myself. We can choose to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We can choose to ask Him to forgive us of our sins, which is, it's all good. Jesus came to die for your sins. That's why He died. He came to die. He died so that our sin keeps us from God. But He came much more than that too. He came to know, He came to die so that you might know God. That you might have a personal relationship with Him. If you don't know you have a personal relationship with God today, don't make any rash decisions, but I would make a decision for God. Don't do it unless you're going to mean it either. But if you know God already, you have that relationship with Him, and you want some of that Holy Spirit baptism of fire in your life, then I say, as a church, we should all be standing on our feet for that. He says, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. Fires don't start off as a big torch blaze either. They start with a small spark. And they eventually grow as they're fed. We feed the Holy Spirit as He works in our life by our way that we spend time with Him, the way we communicate with Him. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit. He has all the personality of God. He is a person who lives inside of you. Every attribute that is considered and given to Jesus Christ and to God the Father, the Holy Spirit has as well. And He lives inside of you if you're a believer. It's very hard for me to preach like this today. I try to keep myself down on emotion. And try to keep myself. Some of you know the way I used to preach sometimes when first, those of you who weren't here, I would get very angry at sin. And I would, if I saw something that was going on, I would come down. That's the gifting inside of me. My gifting tends to be towards profit. That's on that chart. If you took that test that we did on spiritual gifts, that's where I'm at. And I would tend to be very black and white. Right or wrong, you're done, boom. If you can't fix it, that's it, you know. Better get it right. You want to know about the Holy Spirit and how He works? Sat right over here on this side of the room. Wondering where God is. Was at a men's dinner. Matt Deputy was here speaking. It was just dinner, right? And My deputy turned to Lynn, "Hey, I'd like you to come down and start helping me with Bible study at the men's house." And he's like, "No, I got too much time, but ask this fellow over here." So he asked me. I said, "Yeah, here's my name and number." That year is the same year that my father asked, "Hey, would you like to have me lay hands? I've been studying the scripture. The father blesses their children. Would you like to lay hands on you as the children? What do you want God to do?" "God, I want to know what you want me to do in my life." 6 months later, I lost my chickens. The men's ministry opened up that same year. The Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit moving. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, sat right back here in the back, still dry. "Lord, where am I? Why am I dry? I don't see anything. When I read your word, I'm not getting nothing. What's going on?" You think God went somewhere? He didn't go nowhere. It was me. And Lynn's teaching Sunday school class, and a verse pops out. People have a veil on their heart, Matt. A veil that keeps them from knowing me. When you pray that the veil be rent from their heart. I want you to know I've been praying that way for you this week. If there's someone here who has a veil in their heart, I'm praying that God would remove that veil. I pray for that for my employees at work. There's a veil on their heart. You know, you can be a Christian and still have a veil on your heart. I had a veil and sat right there. Holy Spirit is alive. Where is the fire, church? Where is the fire? I love every single one of you. And I want us all to have that fire. I want us all to be flaming torches as we walk out of this door to spread the gospel. Let's stand and sing. I want to pray as they're standing. Before we sing the song, bow your heads. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, Holy Spirit says, come. If Father, I'm asking that you send your Holy Spirit upon your church, not just here at Maranatha, but all the churches here in Kent County, in the United States, across the world. Bring some fire in us, Father. Please use me or my brothers and sisters. Pour out your Spirit in us, Father. You see, Father, we want to see the power of your Spirit moving in people's lives. I want to see people radically changed because Almighty God dwells inside of them. Father, I'm asking that you would stir up the gifts of God. Through your Holy Spirit, pour out your Spirit upon each one that's here today. If they're not saved, do the work that you were sent to do. Convict them of sin or need for Jesus. But if they are your son and daughter, Father, baptize them with a little bit of fire. Give them a longing and a desire to burn and stay in your presence, to be refined by your Spirit. Father, we want to see the bar halls. We want to see the drug parlors. We want to see pornography sites. We want to see the mental healed. We want to see demons run and hide. Father, we want to see people running to the foot of your cross. I ask you, Father, to do this for your honor and for your glory, that your name might be lifted up as you draw all men to yourself. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, the altar is always open. You know that. If you have a desire and you don't know Jesus, I'd love to talk to you. But if you know Jesus, you want that fire this morning, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. I don't expect anything dramatic to happen except for that God will do a work in your life. He will if you truly let Him. He says, come.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold in precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refined as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. Choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
Purify my heart with His gold.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be from within and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, refine as fire. My heart's one desire. Set apart.